We're going to be in Psalm 103. I know we're studying Galatians and fruit of the Spirit, but that's where we're going to be in a minute. And I'd love for you to read along with me if you want to go ahead and be finding that text. So we have studying the fruit of the Spirit, and we have talked about love and joy and peace, and those are all really good things. And today we kind of come back to earth a little bit, talking about patience, because that's one of those things that seem to get all of us. And I'm one of those people that that hits right between the eyes, because sometimes in life we all get to the point where we look at folks or things going on, and we think, I have had it right up to here with whatever this situation is. So I want to remind you for a second, this is the last week I'm going to do this, but I want to catch you up a little bit. We studied the first week, and we wanted you to understand that it is fruit of the Spirit, not fruits, plural. It is singular, fruit of the Spirit. You either have them all or you don't. And we talked about you're probably as spiritually mature as your weakest fruit. So what we need to do is find what it is of these fruit of the Spirit that we're struggling with and say, Lord, this is what we want to work on. It is all or none. It's kind of not a buffet where you get to pick and choose. The fruit of the Spirit are emotionless. And what that means is I don't do these things because I like you or I feel like I love you. These are things you do just naturally because of agape love. Love in the fruit of the Spirit is doing things without expecting anything in return. Joy is not based on your circumstances, but something you're choosing to do. And then we've decided we are to be agents of peace. And so today we're talking patience. And so let's read on the board. We'll read our text that we're covering as we work through these fruit of the Spirit. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And these are all things that we need to work on, and we need to understand what they are. So we're going to talk patience today. And patience is one of those things that sometimes I think that we don't have quite an understanding of what the Holy Spirit is trying to work in our lives and what Paul is actually trying to say in our lives. Sometimes I think that we think patience is simply waiting on something to happen. And that is not what he's talking here. I remember my first purchase as a 14-year-old boy. I'd saved my money for a jam box. That's what they were called in the 80s. Some of you are going, I got that. I know what you're talking about. It had two speakers, a radio, and a cassette player. And it would make loud noise. Oh, it was good. And it was on sale, and I could afford it. But my dad told me, he said, I can't take you right now. We can't go until Monday. You're going to have to be patient. And I remember on Monday, I got there, and they'd sold out. And I was so frustrated. I remember thinking to myself, I'll never be patient again because good things don't happen when you're patient. Now, the point is sometimes we think being patient means just waiting. But I want you to understand this morning that being patient, as he's talking here, is not waiting. It's how you act while you're waiting. That's what he's talking about. Patience is the ability to wait, not the ability to wait for a long time, but how you and I act while we wait. The word patient in the fruit of the Spirit that we, a while ago, read, many of your Bibles will use the word long temper, or use the word perseverance. The word for patience in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 means you've got a long temper. You can be patient a long time with people. It is a sense of the ability to hold your temper for a while, and that's what it is. And I want to tell you really quick, you understand the opposite of love is hate. The opposite of patience is anger. And so we're going to talk a little bit about anger this morning, because anger is what happens when we don't wait well. Does that make sense? This is not what the Holy Spirit wants for your life. Anger and impatience is not what the Holy Spirit or what God wants for us when it comes to us as in the life of a Christian. And so I want to ask you for a second, what is it that punches your hot button? You know what a hot button is? That's the button where you just go, oh, this is not the situation I wanted. Your hot button could be a person. You know, one of those people that just kind of grates on your nerves a little bit. Your hot button could, one of those people that aggravates you. Maybe it's a situation. I've had situations in my life that are sometimes that patience, I don't always do well with it. I'm working on it. I'm so much better than I used to be. You know, I've sat at bank lines waiting for my turn in the drive-thru, and the person in front of me has, the little door has gone in and out so many times, you're thinking they're renegotiating their mortgage up there or something, right? And it's like, I've literally sat here for 20 minutes. Could they have not gone in? And you get up there, and it's finally your turn, and the door's hot to the little drawer's hot to the touch because it's gone in and out so many times. And you're like, what is going on here? It's the long line at the grocery store and somebody's wanting to visit instead of, hey, let's just get checked out and let's get moving on somehow or another. It's traffic. Oh, traffic. When you're in a hurry, but somehow or another you're stuck behind someone who's driving 10 miles per hour under the speed limit, and you're going, why are they out here? It's social media, and sometimes people posting things that you go, I don't like that, and you want to vent on their whatever it is that they have posted. And I want to tell you that I'm like you. I struggle with these things at times, but I'm trying to become intentional at getting better. It's probably been a couple of months now. I had not been in Lubbock long, and I'm down here at Quaker and 34th turning, coming to services, and I'm kind of running a little behind, and I'm thinking I need people to just kind of move and go, and I, without thinking, we've got that blinking yellow arrow. You understand what that means. You can go if it's clear, and it hadn't been clear, but the person in front of me, it finally clears, and they just sit there. And without thinking, it is just literally without thinking, I go beep and honked on my horn, and I thought, oh, what have I done? And my first thought was, that's probably a Sunset member going to Sunset. And I've just honked at them. And as they went, I followed behind them. I thought, I'm surely not going to pass them. I don't want to pull into Sunset and them see that I go to church there, you know? And so as we pulled up, I thought, oh, please don't stop. Just keep going past the church building so you won't know and see me pull in. Then I thought maybe it needed to be a Sunset person so I could have apologized. But sometimes in life, we just react before we even think. And that's not what God wants for us. Anger is a destructive emotion. And you say things you shouldn't, and you do things you shouldn't. And can I remind you that angry people make angry kids? And if you're an angry person with a short temper, a lot of people call it hereditary. And I'm telling you, it's not hereditary. It's a learned behavior. And if you want that generational curse to stop in your family that you've learned from somewhere else, you're going to have to work on lengthening your fuse and learning how to control yourself a little bit better. I remind single people in here, if you date an angry person, you need to run. Don't consider marriage until they have fixed that problem. It is destructive. Anger in marriage hurts. Tones hurt. And in Proverbs chapter 22, verses 24 and 25, it says, do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one who is easily angered. You may learn their ways and get ensnared. And so I want to give you three things that we're going to talk about this morning about how to lengthen your fuse and how for us to become more patient people while we wait, acting the way God wants us to. And so right off the bat, number one, you ask yourself, why do I need to be patient? Why do I need to be patient with people? Why do I need to lengthen my fuse with people and situations? Because why should I be patient and long suffering with others? Because that's exactly how God is with me and you. You following what I'm saying? If God says, I want to be patient with you, He expects us to be patient with other people. All through the Bible, there is verse after verse about God being patient and he's slow to anger. Look with me in Psalm 103 for a second as we talk a little bit. I just wanted you to see a couple of things. I've got some verses underlined, especially some words. Start in verse 8 with me, all right? The Lord is compassionate and gracious, and notice this, slow to anger. I want a God like that, don't you? I want to serve a father who is slow to anger. He is abounding in love. I like that. He will not always accuse, nor will he always harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is to the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. That is one of the greatest verses in the Bible that teaches us about what God wants, what God is, and what God wants for us. He wants us to be patient people. He wants us to be long-suffering with other people because that's how he is with us. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, the Lord is not slow. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. Indeed, he is patient with you, not wanting any to perish. James 2:13, let me give you one more. Let's write this one down. There will be no mercy for those who have not shown mercy to others. But if you have been merciful, God will be merciful to when he judges you. You know what he's saying? If you've been patient to others, God will be patient with you. If you've been kind to others, God will be kind to you. God expects from us what he gives you. I love the fact that the Lord is slow to anger with me. And aren't you glad that he is? And Paul says, this is what patience is all about. Second thing that I want you to catch is that it's essential to understand the difference between human anger and righteous anger. Because one of the things that people will say automatically is, but didn't Jesus get angry? And if Jesus got angry, can I not get angry? I want you to understand, there's a big difference between angers out there, all right? Human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. That's actually James chapter 1, verse 19. So what is the difference between human anger and righteous anger? I want you to understand that when it came to Jesus, Jesus was slow to anger. His anger was a response to sin in his father's house where they had come up and started selling stuff at the table. It was attack. He was stopping an attack on the kingdom of God. And anytime you get angry, you should get angry for a righteous reason. It's going to be in a response to sin, in the mistreatment of others, or when there is an attack on the kingdom of God. And that righteous anger should still be a slow to anger and a controlled anger, not an out of control anger. Unrighteous or human anger is everything else. And it generally occurs when I feel like somebody has attacked me and I want to attack back. Unrighteous anger, however, it always seeks to destroy and hurt other people. I want to hurt you because you've hurt me, or you've hurt my family, or you've hurt one of my kids. I want to make you suffer because I've suffered. That's the wrong kind of anger. That is unrighteous anger. We need to be cautious about this kind of anger in our lives. We need to be cautious. When you get to feeling like you're going to blow your top, you need to understand how destructive that is. You need to watch your mouth and what you say. You need to watch your speed and how quickly you're getting angry. You need to listen and think. You don't always have to say everything you think. And not any person that has ever in the history of the world blown their top and lost their cool has ever thought one time, I'm glad I did that. Things are better now. Because it's just the opposite. God wants us to be patient because he is patient. He says, if you get angry, it needs to be a righteous anger, not an unrighteous anger. Can we look at the last for a moment? We're going to tie up some things. Number three, so how do I guard against anger? How do I lengthen my fuse? Can I give you three or four little points here for a second? These are some things that I've had to do, some things that I may help you and may not. This may not apply to you, but I have turned off a lot of mainstream media. Mainstream media, their goal is to make you fearful and angry. And they know if you get angry, you're going to tune back in later and see if you still have a good reason to be angry. So maybe you need to consider turning off some mainstream media. Learn to just, hey, I'm going to hit the highlights on some news if you want to keep up with the news. But if you find yourself watching the news and getting angry, you probably need to turn that off because that's not what God wants for your life. The second thing is run from heated discussions. There's going to be times in life somebody's going to say something and it's like, ooh, that you just touched the wrong nerve, buddy. And the best thing you can do is let's walk away. If you're going to say something you shouldn't say, let's walk away. And can I say this? This is going to come across as strange, but I feel like it's the right thing. God would rather you be kind than to be right. God would rather you to be kind to someone than force your opinion on them. And I heard a guy say one time, man, I nailed their hide to the wall. Can I just say, I've never met anybody converted to Jesus who had their hide nailed to the wall. So please be cautious that when you get heated, that you stay in control. Number three, don't engage on social media on hot topics. If there's something on social media that somebody posts and you don't like it, scroll on. Move on. You don't have to say a word. It's not your job to fix everybody in this world. You're not going to. Besides, I don't know that anybody's ever won an argument on social media before. You get two people that argue, but I don't know that anybody ever figures it out. And if you can't post nice things on social media, you probably don't need to be posting on social media. But don't engage over hot topics. Just scroll on, move on. Let me give you one more, or actually I'll give you a couple more. Recognize your anger and your pressure points. Know what sets you off and avoid those things. Know what it is that, boy, if that person goes there, I'm going to get a little hot about it. Know ahead of time, I'm not going to do that. When you feel it, you say, I'm going to hold up. I'm going to catch my breath. I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to work in my life because that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. And if you're in the midst of a heated discussion, let the other person know, hey, I need to step out for a second, not because I don't like you, but I need to take a break from this because I'm getting a little heated. You know, my wife and I do that oftentimes. That's worked great for my marriage. There are times where we get just a little bit and we're like, give me a few minutes to cool down and we'll talk about it again. That's healthy for my marriage. The fifth thing is give God your anger. Turn your anger over to the Lord and ask the Lord to help you with your anger. You know, I told you that impatience is one of those things I've kind of struggled with in the past. Every year for the past 6-8 years, I have picked a word that I'm going to work on every year. Something that, like the word, one year my word was intentionality, where I was going to be intentional on certain things. One year my word was listen. I was going to work on becoming a better listener. It is good when we can pick a word that we can work on. In 2022, my word was patience. Because I knew of all the fruit of the Spirit, this was the one that really I was struggling with. And I did the unthinkable that people don't often do. You ready for this? I prayed for patience. And you know, people always say all the time, oh, don't pray for patience because God is going to sin. Listen, you'll never get stronger unless you ask God to help you with this. And I remember that was my goal for the year. And I'd say, oh, look, hey, Lord, today we're going to be patient. Give me some opportunities to be patient. I remember praying that prayer one Sunday. And on the way home from church, I got behind a guy. You ever heard of Sunday drivers? He was a Sunday driver. And I was on a little downtown area in Childress, Texas, where you could. And my first thought was, what is this guy doing out driving so slow? And then I thought, Lord, you put him here, didn't you? And I thought, all right, I'm going to roll with it. And I decided I was going to drive 15 miles an hour under the speed limit behind him and be patient with this nice man, whoever it was. And I just thought, what a great opportunity to show my patience. And so we drove and we drove and we drove, and I chose not to go around him. And I finally got up to an area to where he had an opportunity to take a stop sign at the highway or me to go to the light. And the light's usually quicker and it's safer. And I thought, Lord, if he goes straight, I've done my part, and I'm going to go to the light because it's oftentimes quicker and safer. It was just kind of my way of going, Lord, I'm tired. I'm going to move on out of this little test, right? And so I went by the light, and sure enough, that guy went straight, and I thought, Lord, that was good. Thank you for that test today. I'm glad that's over. Well, it just so happens I hit the light wrong. That guy came to the stop sign there at the highway, made a left, turned, and went right back in front of me where I was going. And my light turns green, and there I was behind him again. And I said, well done, Lord, well done. I want to challenge you, if patience is one of the things you struggle with people or situations, I want to challenge you to do the unthinkable and ask God to help you with your lack of patience. And then I want you to work with the Holy Spirit to grow in this area, to become a more patient person, patient with people, patient with situations, so that you can handle waiting and you can act nice while you wait. That's important that we learn to do that. As we study the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I want us to become more like what God wants us to be. And that is loving, peaceful, joy, patient. Next week, we move to kindness. If you're here this morning and we can help pray with you for about anything, we'd love to do that. If you're ready to give Christ your life, confess him as Lord, and be baptized, we'd love to talk to you about that and help you do that. But if you have a need that we can help you with, we're going to stand at this time and sing an invitation song, and you can come to the front.